Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gant, and for the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And you, if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can follow the show on Twitter and send me messages on Twitter at GoForAgant. Scheduled to be joined by Chicago Bears tight end Mr. Greg Olsen, who will come on by and talk about his season and his foundation and the things that he's doing in the community. Also expects to be joined by Philadelphia Eagles defensive tackle Jeff Owens. Jeff is coming off a devastating knee injury near the end of the season, so we're going to check in with Jeff and see where he stands with that. And also, the original Captain America actor, Red Brown, who's going to stop on by and talk about the new Captain America and his thoughts on it, and also some of the things that he's up to. So make sure you stick and stay around with us. Greg Olsen, Chicago Bears, Jeff Owens, defensive tackle, Philadelphia Eagles, and also the actor, the original Captain America, Red Brown. Stick around. It's going to be a good, good show. I want to start right now with the great Terrell Owens and that whole situation, that whole story. It came out Sunday, I believe, that Terrell Owens suffered an ACL injury, a torn ACL injury. And at this point, there's no clarification when it happens. Some sources say it was broke by Chris Mortensen of ESPN. Some sources have said that it happened in training, while others said it happened during filming of a reality TV show. Be as it may, it happened. Whether it happened filming a TV show or if it happened while working out of MTR, rather it happened while working out, because you've worked, you know, if it happens during the filming of your reality TV show, it doesn't really look good for you. But anyway, apparently the injury occurred in April. Surgery was had already. And according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, Terrell Owens will be back and on the field by opening day of the 2011 season, if there is a 2011 season. And when that opening day is, who knows? But according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, Terrell Owens will be on the field and ready for the season in September. And you know what? I don't know if I necessarily I wouldn't bet against T.O. Granted, he is 37 now. He is getting a little older. But I would not bet against this guy. I saw what he did with the Philadelphia Eagles. He had the injury there, the broken bone, and he found a way to get healed and ready to go, and he played in that Super Bowl with a broken bone, and he got it done. I mean, he had a great game in that Super Bowl, and probably would have had a better game if he was 100%. And maybe if he was 100%, my beloved Philadelphia Eagles would have won a Super Bowl, but that's another story for another time. But anyway, Terrell Owens, I mean, he recovered from a broken leg and was able to play in the Super Bowl. The man has shown the ability to heal fast. Granted, that was about 6 years ago. He's a little older now, 37 years old. So, I mean, the bones and the breaks don't heal as fast as they used to and as quick as they used to. So if you're Terrell Owens now, you're running into a situation now, you're a little older. He says he can come back. And I wouldn't bet against the guy. I wouldn't bet against the guy. And everybody is writing his epitaph right now. I'm not ready to do that. I think Terrell Owens will come back. I don't think we've heard the last of Terrell Owens. I don't think we heard the last of Terrell Owens at all. I think he will be back. He will be back in some way, shape, or form. Let's be clear about that. Terrell Owens will be back. And if he's not back, you heard the argument, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Famer? And to me, it's a no-brainer. He probably will not be a first ballot Hall of Famer because of some of the things that he's done in the locker rooms and some of the – he's been a divisive force in some locker rooms throughout his career in Philly and in San Francisco, a little bit in Dallas as well. So everywhere he's going for the most part, he's talked. He's talked and he's talked a lot. So, but at the same time, with all that being said about Terrell Owens, the guy is a Hall of Famer in my mind. The guy is a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying first ballot, but he is a Hall of Famer. I mean, you look at the numbers, they speak for themselves in a lot of ways. They really do speak for themselves. They speak for themselves. I mean, he's fifth all-time in receptions with 1,078. I mean, he's second to Jerry Rice in touchdowns with 156. I mean, so what else can you do numbers-wise in terms of getting to the Hall of Fame? Terrell Owens, numbers-wise, is a Hall of Famer. Terrell Owens is a guy who was arguably one of the best wide receivers in this era during the time he's played football. I mean, Terrell Owens, the numbers speak for themselves, and everybody says last year, well, you know, he played for the Bengals, and, you know, he say what you want. 36-year-old Terrell Owens, 72 receptions, 983 yards, and nine touchdowns. So he put the numbers up, and he missed two games. So if you figure if he gets another game, that may be 10 touchdowns and 11-plus 100 yards or maybe 1,200 yards. So the guy put up numbers. The guy has put up numbers at 36. He's put up numbers when most guys at that age are not putting up numbers. I mean, the guy had three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. When you look at it, I mean, from 2000 to 2008, only two times where he did not have over 1,000 yards receiving. And that was in 2005, and that was the year where he was suspended, so he only played seven games there. He only played seven games there. In 99, that was still a young Terrell Owens. Excuse me, 2000. That you figure 2000, 1,451. 2001, 1,412. 2002, 1,300. 2003, 1,102. 2004, 1,200, and he played 14 games in that season. We'll skip 2005, but he did have 763 yards, six touchdowns in seven games, so he would have definitely been over 1,000 there. 2006 with the Cowboys, 1,180. 2007 with the Cowboys, 1,355. 2008 Cowboys, 1,052. So this guy's done it all. He's done it all. He's dominated wherever he's been. He's put the numbers up. He's put the numbers up. And from that span, from 2000 to 2008, there's only been two years, where he didn't have double-digit touchdowns. So the guy has done, can I say, numbers-wise, he's a bona fide, legitimate Hall of Fame receiver. Now, again, I'm a T.O. guy. I mean, I'm a guy who enjoyed T.O. during his time in Philly, being I'm a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. I enjoyed his time in Philly. Ended too soon. You were hoping that they could work something out contract-wise and everything, but it didn't work out. And, you know, T.O., he did act a little immature at the time and did some things that was not appropriate and was not smart. But at the same time, if you want to talk numbers, you want to talk production, T.O. has put up the numbers. Now the question becomes, does he get another opportunity? Does he get another opportunity? Is there a team out there that will give Terrell Owens another chance? Is there a team out there? I mean, I'm not sure if he'll start the year with anybody, but somebody will pick him up. Somebody will pick him up. I mean, Chicago Bears, they could use a wideout. Maybe they go after him. I mean, somebody could pick this guy up. Somebody could use Terrell Owens. Now the question becomes, and you gotta worry about all the off the field stuff and some of the things that come with Terrell Owens. That's definite. But the guy, as much as he would like to, I just don't think it's in his DNA to be quiet, to not say his opinion. It's just not in his DNA, I don't think. And at this point, you know, he's going to say what's on his mind, whether it's popular or unpopular, whether it's fair or unfair. If that's the way he feels, he's going to try to tell the truth to you. And you know, that's a good quality in some respect, but at the same time in life, we all have to realize and know when to say something and when not to say something. I mean, you know, we can say the nicest thing to somebody, I mean, the meanest thing to somebody, but if you say it in the right way, with the right tone and everything, it could be taken in the right way. T.O. has not learned that skill to this point. T.O. only knows one way, and that is telling the truth and nothing but the truth, so help him God. So, I mean, that's just Terrell Owens, and that's just who he is as a person. And as a player, I mean, that's who he is. He's going to tell you how he feels, no matter if it's popular, unpopular, no matter if it's rude, or no matter if it's, you know, something you may not want to hear. He's going to tell you. Now, again, there is a skill in that. There is a skill in telling somebody things about themselves without offending a person. There is a way to do it. And first off, the one mistake you can make is going to the media and saying things to the media, like such as when he talked about during his days in Philly, we talked about Brett Favre. If the Eagles had Brett Favre, they would have a better record instead of Donovan McNabb. I mean, those type of things. I mean, those type of things are things you don't say in public. Those are type of things you may say privately to a friend, privately to a friend who is a teammate. But that is not something you say in public. That's not something you say to the media. That's not something you say that will be blasted everywhere. I mean, you're Terrell Owens. And whatever you say, fair or unfair, it's going to be put out there. And if it's controversial, even somewhat controversial, it's going to be put out there. That is just the nature of the situation. That is just the nature of the beast. And that's just a part of being Terrell Owens, fair or unfair. In some respect, it's unfair. But it is life, and because of your track record, reality is because of your track record, because of the things that you have done in the past, you're not going to be given that pass. You're not going to be given that pass. It's just not happening. You're not going to be getting that pass. You're not getting that pass. You're just not going to get it, and it's fair. Whether it's fair, unfair, it don't matter. It's life. It's just life. It's just life, and hopefully Terrell Owens, I hope the guy gets another opportunity. I mean, again, I am a T.O. guy, and I just hope that he gets an opportunity. He deserves an opportunity, and I hope he can get it. I really do hope that he can get that second opportunity, that second chance. And that would be, you know, be a good thing. Definitely would be a good thing for Terrell Owens to get that second chance. And I hope he does. I really do. And I think he deserves it. Well, I mean, I don't know if he deserves it per se, but I think his numbers speak for themselves. His numbers say that, you know, Terrell Owens still deserves another opportunity with another team. Whether it will happen or not, I'm not sure it will. It may be a situation where a team may lose a wide out during the year and may need a veteran pickup, and that veteran pickup may be Terrell Owens. And I hope he gets another chance. And also, you talk about Terrell Owens, and you talk about how he may have injured his ACL. Some are saying that it could have happened while filming his reality show. If that is the case, that's not good. And it goes to a larger issue we talked about here on this show. It goes to a larger issue we talked about on this show. We talked about, I believe it was Ray Edwards, who was boxing. Tom Zbikowski, who was also boxing. And we talked about, you know what? Yes, these are things that you wanted to do. Yes, you have time to do it with a lockout. But is it truly a smart thing for you to be doing? And, you know, and then that's a question that they have to ask individually. But it's something they definitely need to think about, because the reality is your job is to play football. If you're hurting yourself doing outside activities such as reality shows, such as boxing matches, things of that nature, then in a lot of ways, you know, people, it's not a good situation. It's not a good situation. I mean, if you're a teacher or a construction worker, you're probably not going to be playing tackle football anytime soon, because if you get hurt, you don't work. I mean, you're going to need your muscles. You're going to need your body to work. And if you get hurt, you don't work. And the reality is, T.O. got hurt, possibly filming a reality TV show. T.O., if you got hurt, you may not be working. And so you look at that situation and you say to yourself, would I do it? Would I go out there if I was a professional athlete and my league is under some sort of lockout? Would I go out there and box if that's what I wanted to do? Would I go out there and film reality TV shows if that's what I wanted to do my whole life? Would I do that, or would I be smart about that whole situation? I mean, it's just something for us to think about. It's just something for us to think about, and thinking about it, in my opinion, you got to be smart. You got to be smart. And I'm not so sure I would be doing it. And like I said, I made the example with the construction worker. Obviously, the construction worker is not making as much money as Terrell Owens or any other professional athlete, but the risks are the same. The risks are similar. Regardless, you're risking some things if you go out there and do, you know, if you film a reality TV show, if you film even a regular movie, a sitcom, if you're out there boxing, if you're out there bull riding like Ocho Cinco, if you're out there doing various things, if you're playing soccer like Ocho Cinco, if you're out there doing various things, you are susceptible to injury and susceptible to things happening. And if those things happen, it could really affect your situation and affect your money. And anytime you start messing with a man's money, you know, that's always a problem. That's always an issue. And that's always a situation. Don't mess with my money. You hear people saying, don't mess with my money. And by filming reality TV shows, by boxing, by bull riding, by playing soccer, you are opening yourself up to possible injury. And in opening yourself up to possible injury, things such as what happened to Terrell Owens could happen. And again, there's no clarity of whether or not it happened while filming a reality TV show, no clarity on whether or not it happened during a personal workout. No clarity either way. But the reality is, if it was from filming a reality TV show, it's an issue. It's definitely an issue. But again, those are the risks that you take when you decide to do those type of things. And that's just life. That's just life. And those are the risks that you take. And T.O., he took the risk. He took the risk. And the risks were, you know, now he's going to possibly be out. Now, you know, he that may affect his standing in the league. T.O. may not get another shot. His career could be over. It could be. I don't think it is. I think he'll get another shot, but it could be. And those are the risks that you take when you do those type of things. Those are the risks that you take when you do those type of things. And unfortunately for T.O., those are the risks that he has to deal with or dealt with, possibly, if it was from filming a reality TV show. Those are the risks that he has to deal with, fair or unfair. It's life. But hopefully, again, I'll say it again, there's a lot of people who hate Terrell Owens. I'm not one of them. I'm not a hater of Terrell Owens, and I just hope that he would learn some lessons I just hope that he would keep his mouth shut at times. And ultimately, I hope that Terrell Owens gets another shot in the National Football League. And will it happen? We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, if you look at his numbers, and a lot of people say ACL is a two-year injury, so we have to look at that as well. ACL is a two-year injury. You don't come back the same right away. You don't come back with that explosion right away. You don't come back with those things. So with that being said, does a team take a chance on Terrell? And it's going to be minimal risk with Terrell Owens, money-wise. So, I mean, it's not going to be a big-time financial risk with Terrell Owens. But the reality is, if you're a team in need of a wideout and Terrell Owens is still out there flying around, I think you give Terrell Owens a shot and give him a call. His number speaks for itself. But the reality is, with that ACL injury, there's no telling if he'll get another chance. And another guy that's out there, and that's Randy Moss. Randy Moss is a guy that, you know, there's people out there that, you know, I mean, Randy Moss is Randy Moss, and Randy Moss has not been Randy Moss. At least he wasn't Randy Moss last season. He had three stops along the way. Started in New England, had that strange press conference, and then it was over there. He's traded to Minnesota, went back to Minnesota. Things didn't really work out there either. Ultimately, he was signed. He was released by the Vikings and signed by the Tennessee Titans. They signed him up. Again, Moss didn't really put up any kind of numbers there. Didn't really put up any kind of numbers in general last season. But do you take a chance on a guy like Randy Moss? Do you still give Randy Moss an opportunity? Do you still give him a chance? Is there some game left in Randy Moss? Do you give Randy Moss a chance? And you know, the numbers last year, they weren't great. We're not great at all. I mean, he played 16 games, but it just was not a good year for Randy Moss. 28 catches, 393 yards. Did score 5 touchdowns, but those are not Randy Moss numbers. Those are just not Randy Moss numbers. And if you look at Randy Moss the past 3 years, 2007 in New England, 1493. 2008 in New England, 1,008. 2009, 1,264. 13 touchdowns in 2009, 11 touchdowns in 2008, and 23 big touchdowns in 2007. Now, I don't think it ends that soon, does it? Does it just go away that soon? I mean, the 2007, 2008, 2009, I mean, the guy is 34 years old. But, I mean, does it go away that fast? There was a lot of production. And granted, he was playing with Tom Brady, but still a lot of production. I mean, 98 and 2007, that's when he had that big year, 23 touchdowns, 1,493 receiving yards. And then in 2008, he comes back with 69 balls. And then in 2009, 83 balls. So the guy still has game, possibly. I mean, last year, it wasn't, you know, he didn't show a lot last year. Did not show a lot last year. Last year was a dud for Randy Moss. I mean, only 28 catches for Randy Moss. Only 393 yards and only 5 touchdowns. Those are not Randy Moss numbers. Now, Randy Moss can be a cancer at times. He has been cancerous. But Randy Moss still has, I can't say he doesn't have any game left, because the numbers in 2009 and 2008 and 2007 tell me otherwise. I'm almost thinking 2010 isn't just an aberration, because the numbers tell me otherwise. The numbers are telling me otherwise. Now, I guess, you know, people lie, but stats don't. That's something I like to say. But the numbers tell me that Randy Moss is still and can be a productive wide receiver. The numbers are telling me that. The numbers in 2007, 2008, 2009 are telling me that. Now, could it be that Randy Moss is just done? Is he just done? It's over. Is it over for him? Is it over for him? I don't know. I like to think no. I like to think there's still some football left in Randy Moss. I like to think there's still some good football left in Randy Moss. I like to think that. I could be wrong. I may be wrong, but I doubt it. I think there's some good football left in Randy Moss. I really do. Now, whether or not he gets an opportunity to show that he still has good football left in him is another story. It's definitely another story. And so, you know, we'll see if he gets that opportunity. I would like to see Randy Moss get that opportunity, but we'll see if he does get that opportunity. I mean, we'll see. I mean, Randy Moss, like a Terrell Owens, are guys that don't come with the best reputations. They just don't. They just don't. And now they're at the – and then lots of, for the most part, for the majority of their career, they were on top of the world. You know, they were on top of the world. They were the superstars, if you will. So people had to cater to them in a lot of ways. Now it's the flip side now. Now they're in a position where, you know, they're beggars in some respect. And beggars cannot be choosy. So they're beggars in this respect at this point. And we'll see what happens, but hopefully Terrell Owens, hopefully Randy Moss will get another opportunity and another chance to prove that they still have some game left in them. We're now being joined by Philadelphia Eagles defensive tackle, Mr. Jeff Owens. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. Jeff, it's day 106 of the lockout. Progress has been made. I'm thinking the deal is going to get done at some point. But as a player, are you happy that both sides are at the table and talking?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like I say, I'm ready to get back to work. Like I said, it's been a long time coming. This offseason was too long, and I'm ready to get back to work.
And definitely, Jeff, and you were a guy, seventh-round draft pick last year. You were waived before the start of the season, spent most of the season on the practice squad. As a person, as a player on the practice squad, what is your mindset? How do you keep yourself involved with things?
Well, like I say, you still have
Hello?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yeah, I'm
here.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, I heard you. The difference is, like you said, you still on the team. You just don't dress, but you're still in meeting, still at practice every day. So you're still in tune on what's going on with the game plan each week.
Right. And Jeff, before you were promoted to the active roster by the Philadelphia Eagles, there was an offer from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's in your home state of Florida. How close was Jeff Owens to leaving the Philadelphia Eagles and going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, when I got that call, I was quite close. But like I said, the Eagles kind of offered and pretty much made me stay in Philly. So I didn't have to leave. But like I said, when the call-ins come, guys be on the run. Gotta go.
And you definitely were almost on the run, but you stayed with the Eagles. And you were promoted to the active roster in December against the Vikings. I mean, talk about the joy that you felt finally getting that opportunity to dress.
Like I said, it was great feeling. All your hard work from Little League on up, and finally get a chance to step out down that field and prove yourself. It's a great feeling. I mean, it's amazing. like you said, once in a lifetime opportunity.
And yes, it is definitely a once in a lifetime opportunity. And in that game, unfortunately, Jeff, you did rupture your patella tendon in your left knee. Kind of take us through that play.
Well, actually, I was pursuing the ball, chasing down the quarterback towards the sideline, and my knee ended up getting planted in the turf, and it just was a freak accident, non-contact incident.
And when it happened, did you know that it was going to be bad?
Well, like I said, I didn't know how bad it was until I had MRI, and then that's when they told me. Like I said, you never know. It could have just been just a slip-up, and nothing happened, but you'd never know until you had an MRI.
We're talking to Jeff Owens, defensive tackle, Philadelphia Eagles. And at the time, were you kind of saying to yourself, I can't believe that I waited all this time to play, and now this is happening to me. Were you saying that to yourself?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But like I said, I got faith in God, and I know things happen for a reason. And like I said, it's just a test of my faith, and I'm just going to keep working hard to get back out.
And at this point, how is the knee, and will you be able to play in the 2011 season?
It's tough right now, but I'm still working to see.
So there's a possibility, but there's also a possibility that you won't play.
Yes.
And now talk about the rehab at this point. Talk about your mindset during this rehab process.
Oh, like I say, you got to attack it like you attack anything else, because that's the main focus right now. I mean, that's all I can do right now, and it's just mission rehab, and that's my whole focus right now, to get better.
Is there some lonely times dealing with this rehab? I mean, it's, you know, you're kind of away from everybody, and you're kind of with your own self trying to get back. I mean, is there some lonely times with this?
Yeah, you can have your ups and downs. I mean, that's life, though. I mean, that's with anything in life, and you just got to learn to adjust and get past it. Because I mean, you can't let it bring you down. Like say, what don't kill you makes you stronger. So that's the mindset you got to have.
Definitely, definitely. We're talking to Jeff Owens, defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, Jeff, during the season, your Philadelphia Eagles got pretty far. Well, they got into the playoffs. They lost to the Green Bay Packers. And watching that game, is that a game you think you guys should have had? I mean, I'm a big Eagles fan, and I think that was a game that the Eagles really should have won.
I thought if we'd have got past that game, we'd have won the Super Bowl. And like I said, that last drive, Vic made a hell of a comeback. He was playing injured. So, I mean, like I said, Vic, our goes out to him because he's a great player. Like I said, I thought we almost had it.
And how is it practicing against a Michael Vick? I mean, a guy with all those tools, all that speed, all that arm strength, how is it? I mean, how great, you see him up close and personal. How good and great is Mike Vick?
Oh man, he's amazing. He's an amazing athlete. Fast. I mean, he can do it all. I mean, I think he can put Mike Vick at receiver, and he'll be a great NFL receiver or at cornerback. I just think he has all the tangibles, and he's a great player.
Definitely, and he showed it during that 2010 season. Now, Jeff, being that it is a lockout, are you kind of on your own with this rehab?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, you can't have no contact with the coaches or the training staff. I mean, so I haven't talked to anyone since the lockout started. So it's like it's suffering.
Right. And, Jeff, on this game, we like to play a game – on the show, excuse me, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I'll give you two topics. You tell me which one is better. You ready to play, sir?
I'm ready.
Who's better in the clutch, LeBron James or Kobe Bryant?
Kobe Bryant, hands down.
You're a Miami guy.
Yeah, but you must have seen LeBron the way he played in the championship.
Not good at all.
He's shaving points.
Better looking. Serena or Venus Williams?
I got to go with Serena.
I think I would definitely agree with you for obvious reasons. Better dreadlock, Bob Marley or Jeff Owens?
Man, I gotta tip my hat off to Bob Marley. I'll take him, you know, first, show respect, one love, you know.
Better tweets, Chad Ochocinco or Jeff Owens?
Oh, man. He got more followers, but I don't know. I might have to get at to him, too. You know, I'm young in the game, so, you know, and I'm a 10-year vet. I'll be there.
Better city, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida, hands down. You can't even compare the weather.
Jeff, we're rooting for you here on this show, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck, and we hope that you can get back on the field during the 2011 season, man. Thank you for stopping by, and again, nothing but the best of luck. Keep your head up, keep grinding, and get back on that field in 2011.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Jeff Owens, defensive tackle, Philadelphia Eagles. And Jeff, I mean, he had a tough injury. I mean, the first time the guy was activated and he tore up his patella tendon. But, I mean, hopefully things will work out for Jeff. We're now being joined by Chicago Bears tight end Greg Olsen. Greg, how are you, sir?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Greg.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, Greg. Greatly appreciate it. Greg, when I think of the Chicago Bears, I think of defense. You know, you guys have some weapons on the offensive side of the ball, but I think defense. Will that change this year?
You know, I think deservedly so. I think when you think of the Bears for so long, you know, kind of our tradition with the guys that have come through here, you know, both past and present, defense has kind of always been the focal point, and I think deservedly so. But you know, I think with the young core, you know, guys that we have, you know, especially, you know, the guys that we have, you know, in the skill positions and with the young offensive line drafted, you know, this year we took one to go along with the other guys. I think we're putting ourselves together a pretty young, pretty talented offensive group that hopefully we can keep together for a while and grow into, you know, one of the better offenses in the league and kind of not so much change the ways, but maybe, you know, put ourselves on the same platform as kind of our defense has been for a while.
And there's a lot of people out here that believe the Bears may need another wide receiver and may need a little more offense. You feel like you guys have enough on the offensive side of the ball?
I think we do. I mean, you got to remember we made it to the NFC Championship last year in our first year in this system with a lot of new pieces to the puzzle. You know, we were one possession away from being in the Super Bowl. So we've been. You know, kind of up that mountain a little bit. We came up a little short, but, you know, I think in our second year in this system and kind of got some of the growing pains out of the way last year, there's no reason that we can't go even further.
Right, and speaking of that championship game, we heard all the talk with Jay Cutler in that championship game. I mean, I thought it was unfair to me. The guy proved to me, I mean, 52 sacks. He was sacked 52 times. He found a way to stand up and play a lot of football last year. But he took a hit from players around the league. But did he take a hit in the locker room during that whole situation?
No, not at all. I think that was a lot of nonsense. A lot of guys just trying to, you know, get their Twitter followers up and get their face out there a little bit and make a little get a little attention that their season was over. That's all that was about. No one who knew Jay or was affiliated with the team ever once questioned anything.
And Jay Cutler has organized some workouts with you guys. How has he looked in those workouts?
I think guys have looked good. I think guys have put the work in this offseason, and for the last couple months or so have been, you know, guys are in good shape and running around, and it's been fun to get together every morning and go over some stuff and kind of just get back out there together. So it's I think we've gotten a lot out of it, and I think it'll, you know, pay dividends when training camp starts.
We're talking to Greg Olsen, tight end for the Chicago Bears. And with Jay Cutler out there, did you see that he had a swagger back? I mean, when I look at Jay Cutler, I see a guy with a swagger. Did he have that swagger back during those workouts?
Yeah, I don't think anything ever was really affected by all that. I think, like I said, I think that was a lot, you know, that kind of all that issue was kind of more of a concern for everyone outside the team than it was for any of us.
And we're in the lockout now, day 107 of the lockout. Frustrating from a fan's perspective. Talk about how you're feeling about this whole thing. Is it frustrating for you as a player? Or how frustrating, but how frustrating?
Yeah, definitely frustrating as a player. I mean, this is our livelihood. This is what we do. We don't really have fallback plans. If there's no season, it's not like we have other things that we can do, you know, both to occupy our time and to make a living and all that. I mean, this is what we do. This is who we are. We've kind of put, you know, all our focus for the last, you know, however many years of our lives towards this. So there's no doubt it's as frustrating for us as it is everybody else. And just hope that it gets taken care of soon.
And how much has this lockout affected your preparation?
I don't think it's affected at all. I have a pretty good routine for the off season, which I follow, going down to Miami and then following my workouts through my trainer up here in Chicago. So as far as the preparation and being in shape and my development improvement over the off season, none of that's been affected at all.
And Greg, you talked about the offense and the complications with the offense. Your offense coordinator, Mike Martz, he's not known for using the tight end much. I mean, was his offense a big adjustment for you?
You know, it's a little different. The tight end's asked to do a lot more, you know, a lot of other things other than just be involved in the passing game. So that was a little different,
right,
than it has been for me in the past, and a lot different than a lot of other tight ends are used around the league. So. But I think it made me a better player. I think I was asked to do a lot of things and have kind of wear a multitude of hats that a lot of other guys around the league aren't asked to do. And, you know, I think overall, you know, people get caught up in stats and this, but, you know, I think if you look down at the quality of play and the things that, you know, one particular guy was asked to do, I think I'd be right up there with everybody else.
And in 2009, you were a Pro Bowl alternate. And in 2010, your numbers were down. But were you happy with your 2010 season?
I mean, I was happy with my play and doing the things that I was asked to do. For sure, I would have liked to have caught more balls and had more opportunities. But sometimes that's out of your hands. So I'm happy. You know, I'm happy with the way the first year in the offense went. And you know, hopefully things continue to develop for the whole offense and me personally next year.
We're talking to Greg Olsen, tight end for the Chicago Bears. And Greg, speaking of contributing, you contributed a lot in that playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. You had a big game there. And talk about the feeling of getting your first playoff win, and also talk about the feeling of being a big-time contributor and getting that win.
Yeah, you know, it felt good. That's a game that obviously stands out and will be one that, you know, is remembered by me personally and, you know, as a team, just because of, you know, it was our first playoff win since the Super Bowl loss in 06. The 06 season and 07. So, you know, I think it was nice to get back there. Obviously, we fell short the next week, so it didn't really, you know, turn out as we had hoped. But, you know, I think getting that first playoff win in a couple years under our belt and, you know, personally to have a big game and have an opportunity to make some big plays, especially early on, was definitely satisfying.
And, Greg, you talked about the following week losing to the Packers, and that was a game where I had the Bears winning. I really liked the way you guys looked against the Seahawks, and I really liked the swagger that you guys had during that game against the Seahawks. But that loss against the Green Bay Packers, I mean, did you feel like you kind of let one slip away there?
You know, it's tough looking back, especially the fact that they went on to, you know, kind of win the whole thing and as our division rival. But, you know, hats off to them. They beat us. You know, we didn't play very well, especially offensively in that game. And, you know, we still came down to the last possession and had our chances in their side of the field in the fourth quarter. So came up a little short, but, you know, that's sometimes just the way it goes. And we got a new season ahead of us.
And what are your personal goals for the 2011 season?
You know, I think just to build off where I left off last year, you know, just continue to do all the things that are asked of me, you know, whatever that may be, and just, you know, hopefully, you know, catch some more passes and have more opportunities in the passing game and just continue to develop as an all-around player.
We're talking to Greg Olsen, tight end for the Chicago Bears. And, Greg, on this show, we like to play a game called Yes or No. I'll give you a topic. You tell me yes or no. You ready to play, sir?
All right.
College athletes should be paid, yes or no?
No.
And why?
Because I think it's a slippery slope. I think there's things that you can do to make life easier for a college athlete. So I think there's a lot of things, food table, feed the guys quality food so they don't have to go out and spend their money on that. Take care of them, give them grocery stipends, give them things that you can control where the money goes to alleviate some stress. And I just think no matter how much you give them, there's always going to be somebody out there willing to give them more. So I don't think that just giving guys money to do what they want with is the answer. I do, as an athlete who went through it, having money for groceries and to eat well, all that is definitely a struggle. But I think you can do things that you know specifically that they're taking care of those necessities and they're not spending money on things they don't need and there's not somebody out there trying to outbid you. So I just think it's a tough thing to go down.
Hey, I would agree with you. I mean, it's just a tough thing to regulate, and I agree with you. Next question, the Green Bay Packers will have more wins than the Chicago Bears in 2011.
No.
Yes or no?
No.
No, okay. Dehani Jones is a better linebacker than Brian Urlacher.
Come on. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. No chance.
Next question. You voted for the top 100 players of 2011. Yes or no?
I don't know one person who did. I did not.
And that's the argument we've been hearing lately. I mean,
I think that was
who
the NFL,
did vote for this?
I think that was the NFL marketing department's favorite 100 players in the league, to be honest with you.
And maybe it was just, you had a lockout going on in e-programming on the NFL Network.
Yeah,
maybe that's
it
what it was.
Yep.
The top 100 players of 2011 is a joke. Yes or no?
I don't think the whole thing was a joke. No, I don't think the whole thing is a joke. I think part of it was – I think pieces of it were a joke. I think the fact that it's touted as voted by your peers, I don't – maybe a couple guys did vote, but it definitely wasn't voted by the entire league because I don't know one person personally that actually did cast a vote. So.
And if you had a vote, who would you vote for the best player of 2011?
I think, between Peyton and Brady, I think between those two guys, it's really a toss-up. I think you take, Peyton off that team. I think they don't do quite – I don't think they're what they've been the last couple of years. And, I think the same thing with Brady. I think those two guys are pretty special.
And one final one. Greg Olsen is the best rapper alive, yes or no?
Yeah, I'll leave that up to you guys. We'll leave that
one
open-ended.
And Greg, I'll say yes.
Thank you.
And, Greg, you have a great foundation out there, Receptions for Research. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's an organization that we started in 2009. My mom's a 10-year breast cancer survivor, so she was the inspiration behind our family starting it. And we've really started to gain some traction here in the last 6-7 months and been able to make some real serious contributions to various organizations, in the Chicago area and nationwide. And got a big charity, the world's largest charitable kickball tournament coming up next weekend, July 9th, here in Chicago at Grant Park. We have over 65 teams already signed up for it. It's going to be an all-day event. People can come down and drink beer and have burgers and come bring their kids to the Fun Zone sponsored by Ronald McDonald House. And there's going to be about 1,500 people on the lake having a great time and raising a lot of money for the foundation. So it's been a lot of fun and been real rewarding for us.
And talk about your kickball skills.
Pretty good. I mean, last year my team was the champs in our first tournament of 43 teams. We took the title home. So hopefully we got a lot more teams this year. So hopefully we do as well.
And where can we find information about this foundation and all these great events that you're
having?
Yeah,
if people want some more information about all our events and kind of our history and kind of get an idea of what we're doing, they can go to www.receptionsforresearch.org. Receptions with an S, the word for research.org and all the information on our events page, and they can find pictures from past events and what we've done. So all the information about who we are is on there.
And your Twitter page?
Yep, it's just at Greg Olson 82. So if people want to follow, I post some information on there. The website's also listed on my Twitter profile. So if people want to follow me at Greg Olson 82, they can also get some information there.
And Greg, keep up the great work with this charity and this foundation.
Thanks,
I mean, you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
And
we wish you nothing but the best. Wish you nothing but the best of luck in the 2011 season, sir. Let's do it again.
Thanks a lot, guys. I always enjoy being on with you. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Greg Olson, tight end, Chicago Bears, and it was a pleasure talking to Greg. And Greg has a lot of great things going on in with his charity and everything. I mean, it's good to see guys doing their thing in the community. I mean, I always say this, and I'll say it again. I don't mean to belabor the point, but a lot of times we hear the negatives about athletes. We hear about the stuff that they're doing in terms of doing bad things in the club or hanging out late or a bunch of baby mamas or baby mama drama and all the other craziness. I mean, we hear about all that other stuff, but we don't hear about the good stuff. We don't hear about the good stuff that they're doing. And Greg Olson is doing some good things in the community. Greg Olson is doing some good things in the community, and give him a lot of credit for that. And you know, I definitely like to give people credit for doing great things in the community. And Greg Olson is doing great things in the community, and we wish him nothing but the best of luck going forward in the 2011 season. If there is a 2011 season, there will be a 2011 season. I just like to say that. But don't think there will not be a 2011 season. You've got to be deaf, dumb, and blind if you think. I mean, you got to be dumb. You got to be one of the dumbest people out here if you think there won't be a season. You got to be one of the stupidest people out here if you believe that. Don't believe that. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Do not believe it. Now, switching gears now, and we're going to be joined by the original Captain America actor, Reb Brown. He's going to stop on by, and he's going to talk about some of the things that he's doing and get his thoughts on the remake of this movie. And that'll be in theaters sometime in July. But I want to switch gears now to Scottie Pippen and this whole comments about LeBron James and him kind of recanting now. And, I mean, at one point, you know, Scottie made some comments that he was saying, you know, that LeBron could be better than Michael Jordan if he continues to do what he was doing. And at the time when he said it, you know, I mean, I thought about LeBron James is a better passer than Michael Jordan. LeBron James can do a lot of things with the basketball, can do a lot of things defensively, can do a lot of things passing, scoring. He can do a lot of things. But one thing that he can't do, like Michael Jordan, it's obvious, judging by what we saw and averaging 2.2 points per game in the fourth quarters of the NBA Finals. Averaged only 2 points a game in the fourth quarter. That's money time. Only 2 points he averaged in the fourth quarter in those NBA Finals. But you look at it, and Scottie's comments were as follows. Michael Jordan's probably the greatest scorer to play the game. He said this back in May. But I may go as far as to say LeBron James may be the greatest player to ever play the game because he is so potent offensively that not only can he score at will, but he keeps everybody involved. Those were the comments of Scottie Pippen and talking about LeBron James last month, and that was on the heels of LeBron James and the Miami Heat beating the Chicago Bulls in five. So at the time when he made those comments, interesting comments and comments that a lot of people were up in arms about. I mean, anytime, one thing I realized, that anytime you talk about Michael Jordan, you say anything about Michael Jordan, I mean, people get up in arms and, oh, you can't be better than Michael Jordan. You can't be better than this. Michael Jordan. He's Michael Jordan. Don't say nothing about Michael Jordan. Don't say he's better than Michael Jordan. You're crazy. You can't say that. I mean, every time you say something about Michael Jordan, the GOAT, if you will, people get up in arms and want to, you know, rip your head off. I mean, at some point, I mean, it's just life. Somebody's going to come along that's going to be better than Michael Jordan. Is that person born yet? Maybe. Is that person in the league yet? I don't know. LeBron James could make a case if he can get his clutch game right in the fourth quarter. I think, I mean, talent-wise, I don't think there's anybody that's more talented than LeBron James. LeBron James can do a lot on the basketball court. He can do a lot. There's not things that LeBron James can't do. One of those things, maybe he needs to work on that shooting. I mean, his mid-range game could use some work, definitely. It definitely could use some work. There's no doubt about that. That mid-range game could use some work. I'm not going to argue with that one. It could use some work. I don't think he would argue with you. It could use some work. His fourth quarter clutchness could use some work. I mean, it could use some work. It definitely could use some work. But the reality of it all is this. When he made those comments look really good because, again, LeBron James had just beaten the Chicago Bulls. LeBron James had just went through the Eastern Conference and it was very good. It was very good in the Eastern Conference playoffs. He was very good during the playoffs, not the NBA Finals, but the playoffs. During the first three rounds of the playoffs, he was good. He was good playing the Eastern Conference. He was real good. He was real good. You saw 2 points per game in the fourth quarter during the NBA Finals. During the first three rounds, it was 7 points per game. So the guy was playing some great basketball, and he was one of the reasons that they eliminated. Everybody talks about Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade had a better final than LeBron James, but I would argue that LeBron James had a better first three rounds. I mean, against the Celtics, you look at that game five where they eliminated the Celtics, LeBron James scored the final 10 points. I mean, you want to talk about clutch, that's clutch. That's getting it done. That's getting that team out of there. LeBron James did it. Game two, and that was game two was big against the Chicago Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals. Big game two game. And you look at that situation, and if the Heat lose that game, they probably lose the series. But in that game, LeBron James played some great basketball down the stretch. I believe they tied the – I remember the Bulls tied the game there, and then LeBron scored 5 straight points for the Chicago Bulls. He hit a jumper, and I think he also hit a 3-pointer. And the Bulls – not the Bulls, the Heat put the game away there. So LeBron James, it was looking like, you know, LeBron James was ready to take that next step. And, you know, sometimes was Scottie Pippen a little prisoner of the moment? Maybe. You know, maybe was that a little prisoner of the moment? Maybe. 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 But, you know, in saying that, you look at that and all that. And you say, I mean, the NBA Finals, once he got to the NBA Finals, it was a whole different story, a whole different story. And, you know, it was a whole different story. And let me read Scottie's comments and what he said. The comments that I made were basically giving LeBron some props as a player, not to dismantle any player like Michael. He said that yesterday at a youth ceremony. We all know that he's the greatest player that ever played the game. I think it was taken a little bit out of context. I felt like I was drawing more of conclusions from the statistics more than the accolades. And those were the words of Scottie Pippen and talking about LeBron James and his comments about LeBron James. And I don't know if he was misquoted. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, he said that, you know, he could be. You know, he said he may be the greatest player. Maybe. But, you know, at the time, you know, I look at it and I say, you know, sometimes we get, in this society, I mean, especially now with 24-hour news cycle and all the things that go on, sometimes we get a little caught up and say things that, you know, probably are things that we probably should not say. And we get caught up in the moment. And any time a guy like Scottie Pippen says it with the 24-hour news cycle, somebody's going to catch it and somebody's going to run with it. So, I mean, that's just the society we live in, and that's just the way it is. I think we all become prisoners of the moment with Facebook, Twitter, and with this instant messages and everything. I mean, everything now is instant. Everything now is instant. I talked about this on Saturday, but it's the microwave generation that we live in. Everything is instant. We want food instantly. We got instant noodles, instant this, instant that. You know, everything is instant. Instant pre-cooked meals. Everything is instant, and everything is in a flash, and that's the society we live in. But obviously, Scottie Pippen, his comments were obviously wrong at this point, but I don't think he's too far off. I think LeBron James, talent-wise, has the ability to be the best player who ever played this game. But will it all come together? Will talent meet the mind, focus, and all the other stuff? And that's a question for another day. But at this point, it has not happened. But LeBron James is only 26 years old, and he has a lot of basketball left in him. The last half hour, go for it, starts now. Of Go For It. In that first hour, we were joined by Jeff Owens, defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, and also tight end for the Chicago Bears. Greg Olson joined us in that first hour. So in this final half hour, we got actor Reb Brown coming by. Reb is the original Captain America, and there's a Captain America movie coming out in July, so it should be very interesting to get the thoughts of the originator, if you will. And so we're definitely looking forward to that. And Reb will be coming up in the next few minutes. And I'm definitely looking forward to hearing his thoughts on the movie. And Reb actually played football in college for USC. So this guy, he knows a little football as well. So I'm very interested to get his take on what's going on with USC and what's going on with him now. And seeing some of the projects that he may have going on now. But Reb Brown is coming up very shortly, and we're going to talk to him about the original Captain America and some of the things that he's doing right now. Actually, let's bring in Reb Brown now.
I'm here.
Reb, how are you, sir?
Fine. How are you?
Doing very well.
This is Reb, Paul, right?
Yes, it is.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah.
Reb, the remake of Captain America, it's coming in theaters in July. But you're the original Captain America. First off, talk about how you got that role.
Well, when I was Universal at the time, and I met with the producer, Alan Balter. And, I just fit it. I mean, 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes, and 220 pounds, and it worked for me.
Right.
And I met with him, and he had done $6 Million Man and a number of other things, and it was a blast doing it. I mean, you know, it's fun playing a superhero. It really is.
And talk about how fun it is playing a superhero.
Well, you know,
I mean,
it's a gas, Paul. Okay, what happened one time when I was down, we were filming the second one, the second two-hour movie down in Venice Beach, California. And of course, you know, and I'm wearing the full Captain America outfit. Well, I'm in my dressing room, and I come out of my dressing room, and there's this drunk sitting on the wall. Okay, he looks up at me, and he goes, "Man, I gotta stop drinking." He falls off the wall. This is true too. He falls off the wall, and I come down. I've got my, you know, I'm in full regalia. I've got my, you know, my shield, the whole bit. And he gets up and he looks at me and he kind of squints. He goes, "Well, maybe not." He couldn't believe I was real. And it was a gas and a half. But, I mean, just doing it and being able to do something like that. And, I mean, it's wonderful for the kids, you know, and the time that we're in right now. I mean, I think it's a great time to bring it back. And I wish them all the luck with it. I mean, the special effects have got to be amazing in this next one. They just have to be wonderful.
It was just definitely... Chicks definitely dig the superheroes, definitely, right?
Oh, yeah, it's cool. You know, I mean, I had met my wife you know, on a show previous to this, and we were assumed they're married after that. But I mean, hey, being a superhero is cool. I mean, you know, you're running around in red, white, and blue, and riding around on a motorcycle. I remember one time in Universal City, the studios there when they used to have the tour. I got on my motorcycle and we were filming, and I was riding around on my motorcycle. There's Captain America. You kind of wave, you know, kind of the royal wave, you know. It was fun. It was a gas and a half. It really was. I really enjoyed doing it. I mean, I remember one time we were filming, and they had to go do some stuff up at Folsom Prison, so I wasn't involved in it, and they had the stunt people doing it. And the director I had at the time, we had to do this scene, and I had to peel out from this corner around this thing, and he says, okay, now I really want you to come around here really heavy, okay? I said, okay. Well, I didn't know that there was the fairing on the vehicle, on the motorcycle, there was a little pin there that when you turn it, because it was a dirt bike, okay, that had been modified, and you turn it and you shut off this gas thing, and it's not going anywhere. So I go around the corner and I gun it and go, nothing's happened. I straighten out the wheel, boom, boom, off the back. and I heard the director say, "Did we get the shot?" Yeah, I remember that. I had blue in my leg for quite a while after that where I hit, and then thank God I had the helmet on, because if I didn't, I'd have been a statistic. But, hey, it worked out, and it was fun. It was really a gas.
And like we said, the remake of Captain America is coming soon. Were you consulted at all about this movie?
You know, I tried very hard to get into this thing, and I just wasn't able to. And I wish them all the best. I really do. I mean, as far as I could see, it's going to be a really good movie. And I saw the preview of it recently when I went to the theater, and I thought, God, that is cool. You know, the outfit, they've changed it up a bit because, you know, he's kind of like in overalls with a Captain America thing on. And, you know, the belt and all that stuff, but rides the motorcycle. And it looks good to me. And, I really would have liked to have been in it. I was trying to become the father in it, you know, for the Captain America. I thought I would have fit that quite well, but I don't know, you know, they had other concerns probably because I'm quite a bit larger than I think Chris.
Right. And is it disappointing for you?
Yeah, not getting in it, of course, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's been fun to be a transition that way. It would have been really fun to do that because, I mean, yeah, it was, you know, it's a big part of me. You still go to shows and people still recognize you from that stuff, and it's neat. It's really neat to be recognized with that kind of as a character. I mean, that's cool.
And will you definitely go see the movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They said that they were going to invite me to the premiere, but I haven't heard anything yet, so who knows?
Right. Well, hopefully you'll get an invite. I mean, you deserve it. I mean, you are the originator. I mean,
that's right.
You have to be there. You have to be there.
Yeah. I wish that they would just have me there. I mean, it would have been fun, you know, because it would have been a nice segue, you know. I mean, it's neat to see that stuff. And, I mean, it's amazing what's going on with the superheroes now because they realize how valuable they are and how many people really enjoy them. I mean, you know, I've done a couple of comic cons and stuff, and it's astounding how many people enjoy comic books and the heroes, and it's such a release, you know. I mean, from the world as we know it, I mean, you go out there and you have a good time. You go to one of those things, and it's like, wow, you know, this is all right.
And if you wanted to, could you try to fit into that suit?
Now? Oh, yeah, I'm pretty close to it. I'm a little bit bigger. The belt wouldn't fit me, but I'm a little bit bigger, but I'm still pretty good shape. I'm about 250, and back then I was about 235, so I haven't changed that much. I wouldn't want to be doing some of the heavy-duty stuff that I did as far as the fights and stuff. That might be very painful, but I could probably just get a good stunt, man. That would be good.
Right. We're talking to Reb Brown, the original Captain America. And, Reb, you got a scholarship to play college football at USC. Talk about your college football career.
Yeah, I went there. I was recruited out of high school. And, I mean, I had John McKay in my living room. I had Tommy Prothrow. I had Air Parsegian. I had, I think it was about 60 scholarships offers at the time. And it just so happened that they wanted me quite badly, as a matter of fact. And then I had Mike Garrett sitting in my living room telling me to come to SC. And you know, an 18-year-old kid. Well, I mean, it's different now. The kids 18 years old now are a lot more sophisticated than we were back then. And I mean, I've got the Heisman Trophy winner sitting in my living room saying, "Come to school," and I'm going, "Ooh, okay, works for me." And I went there, and then I was the running back on the freshman team. Then my sophomore year, O.J. Simpson came, and that
wow.
was it. And then I got, you know, and then they converted me to a fullback, which, you know, I never really did in high school. I carried the ball 25, 30 times, and all of a sudden, I mean, it's a lot different running with the ball than it is blocking. And, I gave it my best shot and stuff, but I just didn't fit into their plans. You know, originally what they wanted was a Ben Wilson-type fullback, which I was. I just ran over people. And
right.
What's been going on with SC and stuff like that right now, I think that's just so sad that, you know, that what happens when one guy, there's a problem and then everybody gets punished for it. And it's sad.
Right.
It really is sad. I mean, when I was in school, I mean, my dad said that when OJ turned pro, he took a price cut. He did. I mean, he had a Corvette. His wife had a Chevelle. You know, our tickets were $50 a piece. You know, we got to sell our tickets then. You know, $50 a piece, and his were $250.
Right.
So yeah. So I mean, and there are all kinds of perks that he received. But you know, hey, he was a hell of a running back. And the first time I saw him running a scrimmage, I'll never forget. He went around the corner, and he ran a sweep, and it was like he was just coasting. Okay. And then he went off like
wow.
a jet. He went off like a jet. And everybody looks at each other and goes, "Oh, my God." Okay, that's it. And but that's, you know, but I did play football there. And it's a good experience. It's a wonderful school. I mean, when we were there, I remember going down the locker room and sometimes the lights would be out and they'd be using candles, you know, down below because like a little dungeon. But now they have the beautiful stuff. You know, yeah, it's so beautiful there. You know, I went over and they have a thing called Swim with Mike, and I went over there a couple of times to swim there when they had that. You know, to raise benefits for that, and it was a lot of fun. And it's a great school. I feel very badly about what's going on with them. I hope that they do the same thing to the Big Ten because they deserve it too.
Right.
In fact, they deserve it more. Oh, jeez. I mean, you know, yeah. You got 9 cars? Yeah, that was done right.
Do you think something could be done to kind of fix this whole situation? I mean, should players be paid or some kind
I think
of stipend?
So.
Or?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much money being involved with the NCAA and how much money these people are getting. And, I mean, in my estimation, I think it would be fair for the players to
right.
get something because they're bringing all the money in, you know, and they're getting there. And then
right.
what happens if a guy gets hurt, you know, gets hurt.
That's true.
It, yeah. And now, you know, when I was there, you got a 4-year scholarship. Now they have you get a scholarship for a year and then they reevaluate you. And then you go again and again. Now something happens and they dump you. What do you do?
Yeah,
you know, that's just, yeah. Yeah, and I think it's not fair to the kid, especially when he comes in, you know, and everybody's got aspirations. I mean, the quarterback on my freshman team was Mike Holmgren,
mm-hmm.
okay? And, you know, he ended up being a great coach and stuff, and I remember playing against Jim Plunkett when we went up to Stanford when I was a freshman. He was a defensive end, you know,
right.
so you never – Yeah, you never know what's going to happen with people and what's going to transpire. But I really feel that the kids should get something for it. I don't think it's fair, you know, that they've got to have, you know, they run out of money for food or they run out of money for this or that. And of course, the alumni is going to try and support them because they want them to
right.
come to their school. They want them to play for them, which is understandable. But they ought to figure a way to be able to compensate them some way. They really should.
I would agree with you. It's just finding a system that would work and that would.
I don't know. That's something.
Kind of,
I the equity basis of it. How do you pay a football player compared to a basketball, a baseball, a volleyball player?
Right.
You know, a women's track or whatever. I don't know. But I mean, you
exactly.
know, when you yeah, it's just it's too complicated for me to figure out, but that's not my job.
Me too. Not mine either. And I'll give it to those who make all the big money.
Yeah.
Did you have any shot? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Did you have any shot at the pro level? Did you have any shot?
You know what happened is that I was in a movie called Legend in Granite with Ernest Borgnine. And it was at Universal, and this is when the California Football League started up, okay? And they actually, you know, contacted me. They were looking at me to maybe play tight end with them. But you know what? I didn't. I had a dream that night about the locker room and all the sweat and this and that, and I thought, it's make-believe's a lot more fun.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, you think about it, you know, thinking, no, I don't want to do that. And so that's the way. But I did. I did have an opportunity there, but I didn't really pursue it because you get in a situation like, you know, you get into a big school like that and you can kind of get banged around pretty good and you lose the desire to play, to be honest about it,
right?
Because you could see what's going on. And, you know, on that football team that I was on there, I mean, there was 11 guys that were all pro. And I think, O.J. was in the Hall of Fame. Ron Yeary's in the Hall of Fame. There's a bunch of guys that, you know. Oh, Tim Rossovich too.
Right.
They're in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's the team that I was there with. I mean, you talk about a football team. My God.
Definitely.
You know, so, yeah. Yeah. So you look back and you go, yeah, I remember the first time I saw a 300 pounder. He was built like me, only 6'8". I go, oh my God. We're playing freshman. This is freshman football, okay? And I mean, we're first scrimmage. Craig Fernings was the coach, and I remember we were there, and we were going to scrimmage, and the varsity, of course, you know, they've been, you know, doing double days, okay? And they were very cranky and very unhappy that they had to scrimmage with us, but you know, we're not going to be intimidated. But I remember, I got the ball. I was playing tailback, and I was doing, you know, I was getting 4 or 5 yards. And I remember this Bill Hayhoe was his name. He was about 6'8", over 300 pounds. And he said to me on the way back, he said, "You're not doing that again, kid." And I, you know, of course, I thought, well, there's no problem, you know. So you remember, you know, how that tailback, how you round into the hole, okay?
Right.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I'm rounding into the hole, and I'm seeing the left guard go down, the center go down, the right guard go down. And Bill Hayhoe's in the hole. and I run into him, and I think I must have did something. And I get up, and I'm at the line of scrimmage.
We're talking to Reb Brown, actor, and the original Captain America. And Reb, you actually were a boxer. Talk about Reb Brown the boxer.
Well, I boxed when I was a kid. I did that. I had they had my record at 14-1, but I was actually, you know, I was 12-2. I had 14 amateur fights. I won 12 and lost 2, and I had quite a few knockouts. In fact, I had about 4 or 5 in the first round. But I got my comeuppance one time. I'll never forget. And you know how they talk about, you know, seeing stars?
Right.
I saw the universe. It wasn't pretty. But I did it, and I learned quite a bit from it, you know, and I mean, it really helped me, because actually before I was an actor, I was a bouncer in a bar, and that's how I was, I was, an agent found me in a bar. You know, I was throwing two guys out. I had a guy in either hand. I had a tank top on, a Fu Manchu mustache, and the guy's up at the top, and it was Robert Walker was his name. And he said to me, he says, "Hey, kid, you ever think about being an actor?" I said, "Just a moment." I banged the guy's heads together, threw him out the door. And I says, "I don't know. What would I do?" He said, "That'll work." Yeah, and then, but I did that. And I actually did a movie with O.J. In 1980 called Goldie and the Boxer Go to Hollywood.
Okay.
And, and I was, you know, Al Collins was in it, you know, was a stuntman and stuff. And I had a good time doing that. In fact, there was one little scene in there that O.J. hit me a shot, okay? And I don't know if he meant to or not, but I thought he did. And my buddy was out in the audience, And he said he nudges the guy next to him, and he goes, "Watch this, man. Watch this." Anyway, at the end of the round, I'm supposed to tag him, you know, but the difference between hitting somebody and not hitting somebody is about a 6-inch step, okay? Well, I took it. I took it. And I got him, and he went down to his knees, and it was, you know, it was perfect. And the director said, "Cut, print, that looked real." So we didn't have any more problems after that.
You keeping in touch with OJ at all?
Oh, no. I haven't seen him in a long, long time. Long, long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, Rev, I mean, you got some things going on with the Bad News Bear reunion. Tell us what
yes.
you can about that project.
Well, we're in pre-production, and I'm casting it, and that's about all I can talk about, really, but I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a gas. Yeah, you know, I'm supposed to play the catcher in it, and I says, "Can I use an Apple box to sit on?" And they said, "What are you talking about?" I thought, just kidding, you know. I mean, you know, I'm getting up there a little bit. I thought, well, yeah, that might be fun, but I don't think they'll go for it. But no, that'll be fun, and then I did a film in Alabama called Night Claws. And
that
was
my next question, actually.
Yeah, and
Night,
it was with
Night Claws was my next question. Tell us about that. Tell us more.
Yeah, it's with a Bigfoot, okay, and it's pretty cool. It's got a lot of nice twists in it, and I work with some good people on it. David Pryor was the director, and Leilani Cyril was in it with me with Sherry Rose, Frank Stallone, and Ted Pryor, and it's about, you know, a bunch of people out in the woods, and then this guy shows up, and he starts doing damage, and I play a sheriff, okay? And it's fun. You know, it's a good story, and it's got some nice twists in there and everything, and I had a good time doing it. I mean, Alabama was a great place to film, and the people were really cool, and I had a great time, and I, you know, that southern food's really good, too. I ate a lot there. Yeah,
I can imagine.
Yes, I really did.
But if you keep eating, you won't be able to fit into that Captain America uniform.
Well, no, I mean, I'd be more like Mr. Incredible. Yeah.
Go ahead. Where can we find information about some of the things going on with you?
Oh, it'd be on IMDb. Just go on IMDb,
okay.
And you can check it out that way, and then that'll tell what's going on. And then there's some other things I've, you know, that are in the works, but you know how it is. You don't talk about something until you've got it in solid stone, so to speak.
Right. And how long do you see yourself acting?
Well, you know, I mean, as long as I can remember.
Right.
And yeah, and then if I end up with something and I don't remember anymore, at least I know I won't see any reruns because they'll all be new to me.
Right.
Robert, it's a pleasure talking with you.
Brown, it was nothing but a pleasure to talk to you, sir. It was greatly appreciated. You got a lot of great stories. And make sure they invite you to the premiere of Captain America.
Well, you know, you guys call them up and tell them to invite me because I'll be very be very discreet. I won't wear my outfit because I won't fit anymore. Listen, God bless. You have a wonderful time, and it was a true pleasure talking with you.
Take care, sir. Nothing but a pleasure for me as well.
All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. Reb Brown, actor, the original Captain America, and it was nothing. I mean, he had some great stories, talked about OJ and his time at USC. I mean, great, great story, great actor, and we wish him nothing but the best of luck. And you people, please invite him to the premiere. He is the original. He is the originator. Invite him there. Give him his props. And if you don't, shame on you. Shame on you. Anyway, it's about that time. Somebody has to be stupid. Somebody has to do something dumb, asinine, and ridiculous. And guess who got caught doing something? Guess who got caught in his own videotape sting? Yes, as the New York Post would say, to catch a cheater. And that is the one, the only, Chris Hansen. Oh, you remember Chris Hansen? The guy, the host of To Catch a Predator, which airs on NBC. And this show, they try to catch people in the act of doing things and trying to do things with underage girls or boys. And Chris Hansen is the host, and each time they bust in on everybody. I mean, there's perverts out here maybe rejoicing about this one. But Chris Hansen, he actually was caught himself, caught on tape, apparently, having a rendezvous with someone other than his wife. Yes, Chris Hansen is married, and he was caught with another woman, videotaped. And apparently, it was caught, and it was videotaped by the National Enquirer. Chris Hansen, how could you? You little devil, you. How could you? How could you? And, well, just like the way Chris, and don't get me wrong, Chris does a great job, Embassy, that whole thing, that's a great job. There are a lot of perverts and sexual predators out there, and they need to be caught. They need to be caught. They need to be caught. They need to be thrown in jail, and that's it. They need some help, and they need to get the help that they need. So he's doing a good thing here. But, Chris, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. I mean, you're 51, and you're having an affair with a woman who is 30 years old, allegedly. 30 years old, you're having an alleged affair with a 30-year-old. You're 51. So technically, you're kind of old enough to be her daddy. Chris, you little devil, you. You little devil, you. Some would say he's not stupid. Some would applaud him and say congratulations. But I will say, Chris, you know what? That's not smart. Actually, that's kind of dumb. That's kind of ridiculous. And, again, Chris, be smarter than that. Be smarter than that. And as we say, we always give out a friendly PSA to those who are thinking, who are out there cheating on your wife. First off, if you're out there, shame on you, cheating on your wife. But if you're going to do it, please, no text messages, no voicemails, please, and no videotaping of anything. Please don't do that if you plan on not getting caught. But I hope you actually get caught if you're out there cheating on your wife or your husband. I hope you do get caught. But, again, if you're going to do it, please, no texting, no voicemails, and no videotaping of anything. And Chris, for the most part, seems like he followed those rules, but somebody else caught him in the act. Somebody else caught him. Somebody else caught him, and that was the National Enquirer, who caught him doing the unthinkable, and that is cheating on his wife. For that, Chris, that's not smart. That's not bright. Actually, quite frankly, Chris, that is kind of dumb. For that, I like to say to you and to all, Chris Hansen, Dateline NBC, To Catch a Predator, you're not smart. You're actually quite dumb. And quite frankly, Chris Hansen, you stupid. Chris Hansen, you stupid for what you did and what you did for that situation. Chris Hansen, that was not very smart. That was not very smart. That was a dumb move by you, Chris. And I guess there are perverts and child molesters rejoicing around the world about this. But again, Chris is doing a great job in finding guys like you, who are out, guys like whoever's out there doing bad things to children. You deserve to get caught. And Chris, quite frankly, if you're cheating on your wife, you deserve to get caught as well. I want to thank Jeff Owens, defensive tackle of the Philadelphia Eagles, for stopping by. Make sure you follow Jeff on Twitter at JeffOwens95. That's JeffOwens95, and you can follow him on Twitter. I also want to thank Greg Olson. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, Chicago Bears tight end, at GregOlson82. That's GregOlson82. And following him there, you can find out about his great charities and the things that he's doing in the community. And that's a great thing that Greg is doing, trying to fight and get rid of and eradicate cancer. Cancer is a bad thing. And make sure you go to his website, receptionsforresearch.org. That's receptionsforresearch.org. And you can listen. And also, lastly, we want to thank Reb Brown, actor, for stopping by, the original Captain America. Make sure you support him. He's got some things going on with Bad News Bears, the reunion, a few other things. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgame, where you can listen to this show and other shows. Also, make sure you follow the show on Twitter at GoForItKid. Follow the show on Twitter at GoForItKid. It's a great show. Follow the show. Follow me at GoForItKid. For everybody that does great work here at GoForIt, we wish you, and I hope you have a nice day, and I'm glad you stopped on by. See you later. Take care. Bye.